Welcome to Family Talk.
Over 50% of babies who are determined to have Down syndrome before birth are aborted. What are those parents missing out on? What would their little boy or girl have been like? Today on Family Talk, Senator Rick Santorum and his daughter Elizabeth share with us about Bella, who has trisomy 18 and is also the joy of their lives. Hi everyone, welcome to a special Mother's Day edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson with our host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And today my dad interviews Senator Rick Santorum and his daughter Elizabeth about the Santorum's daughter, Bella. My dad will introduce our guest in just a moment, but before he does, let me share with you about an exciting offer that's only available through the end of this month. There is nothing like being loved unconditionally and intimately decade after decade by someone who promises to be there for you the rest of your days. And in my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, he shares the powerful and biblical insights for building a marriage that will not only last, but thrive. And right now, for every donation we receive through the end of this month, we'll say thank you by sending you his book, Love for a Lifetime, and also the corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by clicking the donate tab at drjamesdobson.org or call us 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program now. Here is my dad and our co-host Dr. Meg Meeker as they begin the program on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We have some wonderful guests with us today. I'm just delighted to have a longtime friend with us today. I have known and worked with former Pennsylvania Senator, the Honorable Rick Santorum, for a long time. I think we met about 1995, Rick, didn't we?
That's right.
I think that's when it was. And you were working passionately to create legislation to end the barbaric procedure known as partial birth abortion. Mm. You took on Barbara Boxer and fought her all the way to the ground, as I recall. And I was so proud of you that day. You have been probably the most powerful pro-life member of the Senate. You were until you left. And my goodness, I have cheered for you as you fought those battles. And we eventually won that one, but we've lost a lot of others, haven't we?
We have, but I'm encouraged, doctors, that we have a generation of young people who I think in many respects are lost with respect to some of the moral precepts of a good and decent society. Having said that, they are more pro-life than their parents. And so we seem to be losing on a lot of the moral issues, but the one issue we seem to actually be gaining ground. And that's a cause for hope that over time that the truth will eventually prevail. And I found that and witnessed that in what we're going to talk about today. During the campaign, when it became known that our daughter Bella got sick and we suspended the campaign for a few days, when I went back out on that campaign trail and just traveling around in airports or traveling around and meeting people, everyone would come up and ask about my daughter and how. And people who I knew were on the other side of the fence of me. But they recognized the truth, which is as disabled as Bella was, that's a human being and that is a value. And while they may have advocated for that little girl to be aborted, they couldn't deny the reality of the humanity and the dignity of that little girl.
Well, you know, people may not understand what you just said, but that's what we're going to talk about today. If they have not heard you speak about little Bella, she is 6 years old now.
She is.
And what a beautiful
child. She'll be seven in May. Little Bella was born back in 2008 and was diagnosed 4 days after she was born.
Trisomy 18.
Trisomy 18, a condition that, according to the doctors and according to the medical literature, is, quote, incompatible with life, end quote. And so we were told that at 4 days after our daughter was born and she was in the intensive care unit but doing well, that she was going to die. And it was just simply a matter of days, weeks, maybe months if we were lucky. And we detail in this book that journey of dealing with everything from our spiritual journey where As Dr. Dobson knows, Karen and I lost a boy right after the partial birth abortion debate in 1996, the first time I debated that bill.
So you have seven living children and one in heaven.
Yes, little Gabriel.
And Senator, did you know if before Bella was born that there were problems? Did any ultrasounds show that?
The ultrasound showed that there was some concern. She was small for gestational age, which means she was born with 3 pounds, 8 ounces. And so she was a very tiny girl, and she wasn't growing as fast as they would like. And so that was one of the reasons she was delivered early, that she wasn't – not that she was compromised, but she wasn't doing that well. And so they thought, let's get her out and let's see if we can, you know, fatten her up a little bit and get her growing a little better. And so that was the concern. But no, we don't believe in amniocentesis because it creates a health risk to the baby. And so we just decided to, as I think many parents, to accept whatever God gives us, and we'll do the best we can.
And Rick, you and I were talking on the phone when you made that decision not to have an amniocentesis. And essentially, you were saying, "The Lord, we take what you give us." What you said, I'll never forget your words. You said, "What difference would it make?"
That's exactly what I was just going to say now. So, your memory's great because that was my instinct to say it doesn't make any difference. She's our little girl, and we're going to love her for as long and as well as we possibly can.
Hmm.
I just people have told me, well, I want to know what I'm dealing with. Well, you have plenty of time to know what you're dealing with. I mean, there's very few situations where you're not going to know if there's something life-threatening. That usually you can tell. If it's life-threatening, you can usually tell from a sonogram. So really what, unfortunately, amnios are most often in America used for is to diagnose some problem in the womb, and then which leads to an abortion.
Yeah, that's why you don't see Down syndrome babies or children
in the numbers
on the street
be.
Anymore because they're dying.
Yeah,
they're being killed.
Given the likelihood of Down syndrome because women are having babies older, there should be many more because likely as age is the mother's life, you know, age goes up, the likelihood of Down syndrome goes up. Yet we're not. And the reason is anywhere I've heard numbers anywhere from 50% to 90% of Down syndrome children are aborted.
Mm. And for those who don't know, the trisomy 18 syndrome is a chromosomal anomaly.
Like Down syndrome.
Down syndrome. It's actually called Edwards syndrome, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Down syndrome is trisomy 21, so it's an extra 21st chromosome, and Edwards syndrome, which is what Bella has, is an extra 18th chromosome. Unfortunately, trisomy 18 is a much more severe disability, much more likelihood of fatality, and so it's a much more serious disorder.
Yeah. I need to introduce the other person at the table here. We've been going like crazy, and Elizabeth Santorum is here. She is the oldest of the Santorum children and is traveling with and campaigning with your dad. I won't say campaigning for what because the IRS won't let me say so.
Okay.
You are on the road. Let's talk a little bit about Bella. First of all, I want to say that you graduated from the University of Dallas, magna cum laude, and you obviously are a very, very bright young lady, and yet the Lord has you kind of on hold doing a job for him at this time. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. And, I wouldn't have it any other way. But I remember the last time, when my dad ran in 2012, all of us sitting around our dining room table. And my parents always made it really clear that whatever they decided, they wanted all of us to be on board. That, if one of us really felt like this wasn't God's will for us, then, we wouldn't do it. We needed to do this as a family.
Mm.
And so, as we, pray and look to the future.
You're getting only about 4 or 5 hours sleep a night.
Well, no, I try and sleep on, planes, trains, and automobiles, but he just goes. I don't know where he gets his energy from.
Well, let's talk about the other children. You've got 6 brothers and sisters and one in heaven.
Yes.
And little Bella is the youngest. She is now 6. And do you remember her birth? Do you remember what you were feeling at that time? Did you know before Bella was born that you might lose her very quickly?
No, we didn't. And, you know, when she was born, it was similar to what my dad said, that, you know, we knew something was off or wrong, but we didn't know what. And to be honest, I had no idea that it would be so devastating, you know, for lack of better words. You know, I was 17 when she was born. I was a senior in high school. And, you know, I was so excited to have a new little sister. And when she was born, I just remember looking at her. She was so small. She was 3 pounds, you know, 3 pounds, 11 ounces, I think. And, you know, the first thing the doctors looked at that told us that something was more serious were her sweet little hands. And she held them in a way that's, they call it a marker for trisomy 18. And she puts her, you know, index finger and her pinky and they touch. Yeah. And I just remember looking at that and being so confused and just heartbroken, you know, that we had found out that this was what they told us was a lethal diagnosis, that she was incompatible with life. And thinking that, you know, how could something so small, because she looked just perfect to me, you know, tell me that this was a death sentence. So, you know, at the time, I was angry and confused, and I didn't understand.
Now, Rick, you got to explain that, because you knew that you had a child that was not going to be compatible with life. You knew that. But your kids apparently didn't know this, right?
Yeah, I think everyone was hopeful, you know, because she was doing so well in the intensive care unit. She wasn't really requiring any additional care. And I mean, I saw those markers and, you know, read all the internet stuff. And I just felt like, you know, my job as a dad was to start preparing everybody for what I suspected would be bad news. And then afterwards, my job was to sort of hold it all together, to I hate to put it in these terms, but to sort of prepare for the worst. And
you thought you were going to lose her very quickly.
99% chance. That's what they told us, 99%. And so, you know, I'm not a math whiz, but 99% is pretty clear that this is going to happen. Well, Karen heard 99% and she focused on
the 1%.
Wow.
And she was just, okay, she's already in the top 10%, because 90% of these kids die before they're born or while they're being born. So she said she's already in the top 10%. Now let's do this. And so we detail quite in detail in the book the differences between how I was approaching how we dealt with this and how Karen approached it, and it led to some real conflicts in the household.
Karen's a mother.
She's a mom.
But is that her personality? Is she positive by nature, or do you think God gave her that outlook to be able to look down at her baby and say, I'm going to fight
no
matter
what? She's a fighter.
She's a fighter. She's a mom. I mean, she's a mom.
Yes,
she is a mama bear. Yeah. I mean, I just tell you, there are many, many stories throughout this book you'll read where, you know, a doctor would say, well, we don't really, and just Karen would just, you know, the claws would come out, and it would be okay.
And she was a nurse too. She was a NICU nurse.
So she was knowledgeable on top of it, and so she was the fighter. She was convinced her role, her job, was to be Bella was going to be God's miracle, and that was it. That was all there was to it, and that, you know, she was put in this family with Rick and Karen Santorum, who, you know, have a voice, to be a voice. And that she was going to be a miracle and the world was going to know about it.
Wow.
Well, this is a very unusual couple.
Yes.
I mean, I also remember talking to you all about the death of your little boy.
Gabriel,
And how—
and we did have a few hours with him, and we did hold him the whole time. And I always say Gabriel lived a life where he only knew love. That's a beautiful life.
It's a beautiful life.
And we got a chance to welcome him, to baptize him, to welcome into our family and to love him his whole life, you know, what a beautiful thing.
Elizabeth, let's talk about this again from the older sister's point of view and perspective. This little girl has brought great love into your family, far from being a burden, although I'm sure there's a lot of work associated with it, but far from being someone that you really wish had not been born, perhaps, and some people do feel that way. You all have written a book. Actually, Rick and Karen Santorum have written this book called Bella's Gift. She is seen as a gift, isn't she?
Oh, every day. You know, to be in the same room with Bella is to know just pure sweetness and joy. You know, I've never met a child like her, you know, where all she can do is love. You know, so in the eyes of the world, I always say, you know, Bella is disabled. You know, doctors, when she was born, told us what she couldn't do. And I remember my mom talking to me once, and she said, I just want to hear what she can do, you know, and what she does do is love. You know, and she loves more perfectly than I will ever be able to. And I
wrote. Does she speak now?
Well, kind of. You know, no, she doesn't speak in, you know, ways that we can understand, but she communicates. She has different reactions when all of us hold her. You know, she has different relationships with us.
Each one of you.
Yeah, so absolutely.
She knows each one of you.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing, too. A friend of our family, when he met her, I just remember him telling me, he said, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, if she was going to sit there, you know, and I was prepared to, you know, to love her. And I was so excited to meet her. But he said, wow. You know, there's so much going on in that little heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's absolutely right.
She knows a lot more going on around her than she's able to articulate.
Oh, yeah. And she thinks it's funny. She's a great sense of humor. I always say she's the best audience in the world because she just laughs.
Yeah, she loves to be sung to. Yeah. She loves to be held. She's a little love sink. And, you know, we just feel so blessed because of that. I mean, you're right, doctor. She needs 24/7 care. She can't feed herself. She can't talk. She can't walk. She can't crawl. I mean, I can give you a long list of she can'ts. But, you know, Elizabeth talks about this in her introduction. Elizabeth wrote the introduction to the book, and it's something that was revealed to me. And so we had separate revelations, and we both wrote about it, about how Bella is disabled. But what she can do is she can love me. Mm. And we both came to the separate conclusion that that's how the Lord sees us.
Absolutely.
As completely disabled in his eyes. We can do nothing
for
him.
The list of can'ts is long.
The list of can'ts is long in the eyes of the Lord of what we can do. But all he wants for us is to love him. And that's what Bella teaches us.
Dr. Meeker, you don't have a copy of this book. I just got it, in fact, last night. And we're going to send you a copy because this is a very inspirational book.
Oh,
I mean, this will grab you by the heart.
Yeah. It already does. I mean, as you sit and describe her, and I think, you know, I picture Bella in my mind. I remember a year ago, I think it was on her fifth birthday when we interviewed you last. But just to picture her in your mind, and you're absolutely right. I have never thought about handicap that way, but you're absolutely right, whichever one Rick or Elizabeth said it. That's exactly how God looks at us, because to him, we are really incapable of so much, and yet what he really just wants is our love. Can either of you describe to the best you can how she loves you? And I know this is really, really hard. It's a mystery. But is it through her eye contact? Is it her facial expressions? Is it a reaching out of the hand or?
Yes.
All of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, as Lupita says, it is different. I'm the dad, so I'm much more physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
I roughhouse with her a little bit, and so
she puts her hand on his scruff,
she
always lights up.
Beard.
She's like, she knows.
Yeah.
And
so she wants dad to spin her around and to tickle her and do things, and she just loves to react to all that. Where, you know, Elizabeth, you can, you know, sort of describe yours.
Bella and I love to play piano together. So that's kind of our thing, where she'll sit on my lap and, you know, she'll put her hands right on top of mine. And I kid you not, for hours, she'll just sit there with her hands on top of mine, you know, playing with me. And, you know, she loves it. She gets really into it. And she'll tell me if she doesn't like the song, you know, she'll beat her hands on the keys. She'll throw her hands down on the keys or look up at me like she's like, hey, you know, you're not playing this one so well, you know.
Oh, isn't it funny?
Yeah.
My.
Well, what does the future hold, Elizabeth? What have you been told?
About Bella?
How long will she probably, by probabilities, live?
You know, when she was first born, I remember writing with my siblings. You know, we taped a bunch of pieces of paper together and wrote a big sign that said, "Happy 1 week birthday, Bella." And it hung in our living room for, I think, 3 years. And every week, weeks grew into months, months grew into years.
We would put two and then three.
Three and four.
The whole idea was that we prayed that she would have as many week. We celebrated a birthday every Thursday.
Balloons, flowers, cake.
Because our hope was that she would live as many weeks as our children would have years. And here she is. And so the answer is she's a miracle every day.
That's right. And however long God gives us to her, it's a gift.
And she's writing her own story. And so we don't know. We've heard of children living, into their teens.
Into their 30s.
And we have heard of one that's lived into their 30s. And so we just don't know.
Take whatever the
Lord gives us and appreciate every day we have.
But, whenever anyone asks me that, I'm always, tempted to remind everyone, none of us know how long
we
have.
That's really right.
And she's a reminder of that tomorrow I could be gone before her.
And today is a gift.
And today is a gift, for all of us. And, Bella is our reminder of that reality.
The title of the book is Bella's Gift, How One Little Girl Transformed Our Family and Inspired a Nation. That is because in your first run for the presidency, millions of people got into Bella and wanted to know about her. So she's kind of a celebrity in her own right.
Well, it happened because during the campaign, right after the South Carolina primary, I went home for a day and hadn't been home for a while. And that night she got deathly ill to the point where we couldn't keep her oxygen levels up.
I was with you that night. You flew out.
That's
right after that.
That's right. And I flew home, and we had to take her to the hospital in the wee hours of the morning, and called my staff and said—
She had pneumonia, didn't she?
She did.
Double pneumonia.
And we called the staff and said, I'm suspending the campaign. I've got to, I'm going to be in the hospital with my daughter. And they said, well, you just can't suspend the campaign. You just lost two primaries, and you're losing the third, and everyone will think you're dropping out. And finally someone spoke up and said, that's not why you tell people about Bella. You tell people about Bella because you want to ask them to pray for her. And so I said, that makes sense. And so we got to the hospital. They did an x-ray. Both lungs were full of fluid. And so we thought we were in for the long haul. And because last time Bella had that situation, she was on a ventilator for 5 weeks. And they didn't think she'd ever be able to get off of it. And so we hunkered down thinking this might be the end. She might, and close to death. And certainly we had no intention of getting back out there on the campaign trail anytime soon. It was the first 24 hours that Karen and I had together for a long, long time. And we spent it together in a hospital room praying for our little girl. The next day they brought the x-ray machine in, and she didn't get worse overnight. She'd actually felt like she was improving. And they x-rayed her lungs, and they were perfectly clear.
Wow.
Which, if you know anything about these kids and their, they have narrow airways, they have chronic lung, Bella has chronic lung disease. And in 24 hours, she went from pneumonia to clear lungs. And I mean, that is a miracle in anybody's book. And it was certainly a sign to us of the blessing that she is to us and the power of prayer. And also for us to, we decided, okay, let's get back out there and take this on for her. And I'll never forget showing up in St. Charles County, Missouri, at a community college, and got up in front of the crowd, and it was the biggest crowd I had in weeks. People were just out the door and trying to get into this event. And I remember looking over into my left and seeing a man, a tall man, standing there with a little girl on her shoulders, 4 or 5 years of age, and she had Down syndrome, trisomy 21, and she was holding a sign, and the sign said, "I'm for Bella's dad."
Oh, wow. Goodness.
Mm-mm. And from that moment on, the rest of the campaign was different. Every event I had, people with disabilities showed up. Every event. Our best volunteer turned out to be a young man from Oklahoma in a wheelchair who had cerebral palsy. Wow. It was unbelievable, the reaction, because people with disabilities saw someone who stood up and valued
life.
And said, "We are for you. We will fight for you. Yeah. You have inestimable value."
That's exactly right. And it affirmed their value.
We've been listening to the first part of an interview with Senator Rick Santorum and his daughter Elizabeth here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about the Santorums or their book, Bella's Gift, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. And when you contact us, don't forget to take advantage of the opportunity I mentioned at the top of the program. Family Talk exists to preserve and promote the institution of the family and the biblical principles upon which it's based. You can help fight for families today with your financial gift. And when you give, we'll say thank you for your donation by sending you my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, and also the corresponding DVD from our new film series, Building a Family Legacy. Donate by clicking the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org, or again, call us at 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, don't miss the conclusion of our program with the Santorums as they continue to share with us about Bella. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.